Thank you for downloading this sermon brought to you by the preaching ministry of Liberty Baptist Church of Las Vegas, Nevada, Dr. David Tice. For more sermons in both audio and video format, we encourage you to visit experienceliberty.com. Also, for a word of encouragement, insight, and biblical inspiration, follow Pastor David Tice's blog at davidtice.com. So without further ado, let's open our hearts to the Word of God.
Just love praising the Lord. This has been just a wonderful day. I woke up this morning at about 4 o'clock. It was great. Woke up at 4 o'clock. Actually, it's never great to wake up. There's a lot of dead people would change that. But it's a wonderful thing to get up in the morning. I spent some time alone with the Lord. And then I got out in outside. It was about 6:15. And the sun was coming up. And I'm telling you, did anybody see the gorgeous sunrise this morning? It was amazing. It was just phenomenal. The orange and the blues, and it just was a phenomenal sunrise. And I got in the car and I started driving here. I was getting here early this morning. And when I was looking at it, off to my left was the sunrise coming up over Sunrise Mountain. That's why they named it Sunrise Mountain. And so I watched the sun. It was beautiful. And then I turned to the right, and I was heading west, and I saw the beautiful mountains that we had covered with snow, looking beautiful. Above the mountains, there was the moon, and you could see the silhouette of the moon. It was beautiful. So, I mean, I'm just praising the Lord and telling him how wonderful it is. That was after I got in my car. It took me a while to get in my car, because when I went out this morning to start my car, it didn't start. I'm glad for jumper cables. So we were able to, nobody else in my family was awake. And so I got the jumper cables. I got one car and started, moved it to the close to the other car, jumped the car, got in the car. And then I started praising the Lord. But we have such a wonderful thing. And then to come here and sing the praises of the Lord, to be able to just get together with God's people and to hear you sing with your whole hearts and praise the Lord and then sing these wonderful songs that are picked week after week. It's just a wonderful thing to serve the Lord. If you believe that, say amen. Take your Bibles this morning and turn to 1 Kings chapter 17. We're talking about tomorrow, making a better tomorrow, living the future today. In fact, living as though we have a God that's in control of the future, because we do have a God that's in control of the future. Last week, we had the opportunity of meeting a man named Elijah. Elijah, who was a nobody that God made into somebody so he could do something for the glory of God. Elijah was used by God in a powerful, powerful way. He comes in, addresses the king and tells the inhabitants of the land that it's not going to rain in this arid land until he says so. And immediately he becomes a fugitive and goes running off because God told him to. He runs to a place. He hides in a place for we don't know exactly how long. And then the brook that he was drinking from that God had provided for him dries up. And God says to him, listen, it's time for you to leave here and go to a place called Zidon. Go to a city called Zarephath. And there's a widow lady there. And she is going to feed you when you get there. He tells the lady, he says, there's a prophet coming. And that prophet, when he gets here, he's going to, I want you to feed him. I want you to take care of him. And so Elijah comes there. He meets the woman. He says, well, can I get something to drink? And she said, sure. He said, now can you give me something to eat? She said, I don't have anything to eat. All I have is a little piece of meal, and I'm going to cook that for my kid and me, and then we're going to die. That's the plan. And not a very good plan, but it was a plan. And so he said, well, no, don't do that. Feed me first. And so she did what the prophet said. She did what God told her to do. She was obedient to God. And after she was obedient to God, God blessed her, and the meal produced, and God blessed her, and she was able to feed her, Elijah, her son, and the rest of the family for many days, the Bible says, to come. All of that was the blessing of God, and we saw that in the beginning of 1 Kings chapter 17. Now, at this point, Elijah is living with this woman. She's put in a loft up in their home. He's living in the loft. She and helping take care or doing whatever. She's feeding him. He's being taken care of. He has been a great blessing to her and to her son. But something tragic takes place. Something horrible takes place. And when that happens, conflict begins to take place in this house. Great conflict takes place. You need to remember this. Anytime you determine to do something for God, anytime you say, I'm going to do something to shape my tomorrow, I'm going to do something that God wants me to do, I'm going to be obedient to God, you can expect satanic opposition. You can expect Satan not to want that. You can expect some opposition from your flesh and opposition from the world. And you can expect opposition from sometimes those who you think are closest to you. David said this in Psalm 41 and verse 9. He said, yea, mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted, the guy I trusted the most, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. Elijah had been used by God to be a great blessing to the widow of Zarephath. And that woman, by feeding him and providing a place for him to stay, had been a great blessing to him. However, sometimes familiarity can breed contempt. And something's going to take place here that's going to get her very, very upset, unjustly, at Elijah. Let's read the story. Verse 17 starts the story. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. He died. Her son died. This woman that had been obedient to God, this woman who was taking care of the prophet of God, this woman who had taken care of other people's needs, this woman who had been obedient in every area, her son dies. And she doesn't understand why. And she is confused and she's angry. And the Bible says in verse 18, she goes to Elijah. The Bible says she said unto Elijah, the idea is she's carrying her son, her dead son, to Elijah. The Bible says she said to Elijah, what have I to do with thee? Why are you here? What have you done? O thou man of God, art thou come to call me, call my sins to remembrance and to slay my son? Look at this. Are you here to just make me feel guilty for my past sins? Are you here to condemn me? Are you here? Are you allowing this to happen? Why did you cause my son to die? He had nothing to do with it. But she's upset with him because her son is dead and there's no one else to blame. And oftentimes when we're with somebody, the closest person to us, we can get very hostile towards. And that's exactly what happened. She is emotionally distraught, and that emotion is being directed directly to Elijah. And now there's a conflict that could make a huge division. The Bible says, and he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom. And he carried him up into a loft where he abode, and he laid him upon his own bed. So he takes the son. He didn't retaliate. He didn't scream back in her face. He didn't say, I had nothing to do with this. What are you getting on me about? Talk to God. Talk to somebody else. What are you feeding the kid? He didn't say any of that. He said, he took the child. He saw her in her distress. He took the child upstairs, laid the dead body in his own bed. The Bible says he cried unto the Lord. He went to God and began to pray with him. He knew a little bit about prayer. He had prayed and it stopped raining for 3.5 years, we would find out later. He cried unto the Lord and he said, O Lord my God. And the word Lord is capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. And that in the Old Testament
is Jehovah, and Jehovah in the Old Testament is Jesus in the New Testament. He cries unto Jesus. He cries unto Jehovah. He says, God, my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? He's confused about this situation. He said, why are you doing this? Why did you kill her son? Have you killed her son? What? Why did you do this? We get in dilemmas from time to time. And we ask, if we're honest, we look at God and say, God, why are you allowing this to happen? Why is this happening to my son, to my daughter, to my family, to my finances, to my job, to my country, to whatever? Why? God, why? We know he's in control. Why did you kill? She blamed Elijah. Elijah blames God. Why did you kill him? Verse 21, the Bible says he stretched himself upon the child three times. That is, he laid out on the child and prayed, God, please heal him. Please heal him. And nothing happened. He went back a second time and he cried, Lord, heal him. Please heal him. And nothing happened. I'm reminded of the time that Paul in the New Testament went to God and said, I have a thorn in my flesh. And three times he went before God and said, God, remove this thorn. Remove this thorn. Remove this thorn. But that time God said, no. This is going to be good for you, and I'm going to use you in this position of affliction. Paul, I'm going to use you being afflicted to touch other people. I'm going to use this in your life. This time he did not say that. The third time the Bible says he stretched himself on him three times, and he said, Lord, I pray thee, let this child's soul come again. Three times he did this. And the third time the Lord answered. The Bible says in verse 22, and the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. It's an amazing story. For 3,100 years, when somebody died, they stayed dead. From the time of Adam's death and Eve's death. In if you go to Genesis chapter 5, it says, and he died, and he died, and he died, and he died, and he died. And that was the end, and he died, and he died. Until you come to this passage. And now, after 31 years, a man prays three times earnestly, and the one that was dead is now alive. It's an amazing thing. This is an absolutely amazing story. First time in human history that we know of that somebody was raised from the dead. The Bible says, and he died. And the Bible says, and the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And then what did Elijah do? Elijah took the child and brought him down to the chamber in the house and said to the woman, Now what do you want to say, huh? Criticizing me, bad-mouthing me. Here, take your kid. I'm getting out of here. He didn't do that. That might have been what you would do, but that's not what he did. The Bible says, and he took her down, and he said, see, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord, that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. Father, I pray as we examine some truths from this passage of Scripture that you will help us to apply the truths that are here for your glory. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If we are going to have a successful tomorrow, if you're going to have a successful tomorrow, you're going to need to apply the truth that's in this Scripture. I can't think of anything that will ruin your tomorrow or bless your tomorrow more than the truths that are in this passage of Scripture. And I hope that you'll just ask God to take this truth and help you apply it to your life. It's so, so valuable. I forgot what I entitled it, Living the Forgiving Life. Live the Forgiving Life. You need to see what is taking place here again. This woman
had been good to Elijah, and Elijah had been good to her. God had worked through Elijah's life in her life, and God had worked through her life in Elijah's life. And this was a complementary situation, and God was blessing. But we need to understand, and she was an obedient woman, and he's an obedient servant of God. He's doing what God wants him to do. And yet, this horrible situation comes into his life. This horrible thing takes place. I think, number one, we need to remember this. Remember, there's five things that you need to remember out of this passage. Number one, remember that obedience does not mean bad things won't happen. We must remember that just because I'm obedient to God, that bad things doesn't mean that bad things aren't going to happen. Bad things happen in this world. You say, why? Here's why they happen in this world. In Psalm chapter 2 and verse 1 and 2, the Bible says we live in a fallen world. The psalmist David was saying, says, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Why are they always thinking evil things? The kings of this earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. We live in a world that is in rebellion to God. That's where we are. I mean, we can look around the world, as I said this morning, and there's some beautiful things that we can enjoy, even in this sin-sick world. But we need to understand this is a sin-sick world, that the world as a whole is in absolute rebellion to God. In fact, in Romans chapter 1 and verse 18, the Bible says, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. There's truth, there's righteousness out there. People could receive it, but they don't. They are in rebellion to the truth of God's word. And God's wrath is poured out on those that are doing that. And there's wickedness all around us. We need to understand that we live in a fallen world and therefore bad things happen, even to good people. This woman was an obedient servant. Elijah was an obedient servant, but this tragedy came into their life. Death came into their household. It not only happens because the world is fallen, but the Bible tells us that each individual, all of us, are sinners. The Bible says in Romans 3:10, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. That's why Jesus had to come to this world. Because you're a sinner and I'm a sinner. And because we're sinners, we deserve to go to hell. We deserve to be separated from God forever. That's what we deserve. We're all sinners. But God loves us in spite of the fact that we're sinners. And he doesn't want us to spend eternity separated from him. And so God became a man in the person of Jesus Christ because our sin had to be paid for by someone. We would have to pay for it by going to hell. Jesus could suffer the equivalent of hell on the cross, and that's what he did. He became a man. He took all of our sin upon himself, and then he died to pay the penalty of our sin in our place. He was buried. 3 days later, he rose from the dead, was seen by hundreds of eyewitnesses, and went back to heaven. Now he says, if you'll just admit, I'm a sinner, I deserve to go to hell, I believe that you died for me to pay for my sins, and ask Jesus to save you, you can go to heaven. Not because you're good enough, but because of what Jesus did for you. That's how we get saved, by admitting that we're sinners. So we live in a sinful world. We are surrounded by sinful people, and we're one of those sinful people. So therefore, bad things are going to happen. The Bible says we have three enemies. We have the world in general. The Bible says in 1 John, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, because all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but it's of the world. We have the world that's pulling us to do the wrong thing all the time. This world is in rebellion to God, and so the philosophy, the world in general is just pulling away from God. And we're part of that. In fact, our second enemy is our own flesh. Paul said that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me. I want to do what's right. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. My flesh, wants to do what the world says to do. It's why you drive down the street and you say, I'm not going to eat ice cream. And then a sign comes up with ice cream on it. And you say, oh, and your flesh says you're going to eat ice cream. And you can argue with your flesh, but sometimes your flesh wins out. You know that there's a ice cream company called Blue Bunny. And they make all sorts of different ice creams. And they've come out with a new ice cream. Now, it wouldn't be so bad, except I have formed a new addiction. This may have been around for years, but I didn't know about this particular thing until about the last 6 or 8 months. It's called salted caramel. Oh, you know. You can go to Sam's Club and you can get a jar of salted caramels. They're about a square inch, and it's just filled with delicious poison. And this Blue Bunny ice cream decided to make salted caramel ice cream, which is sort of a vanilla flavored, and it's got the, you look at it, and the caramel is just all through there, just woven through. You can see it when you look in the freezer. And I want to say, get thee behind me, Satan, but I don't. And inside that ice cream, there's these little chunks of salted caramel candy. It's like poison on top of poison. And my spirit says, Dave, you don't need that right now. My flesh says, oh, yes, you do. And you have this battle going on, and you know what I'm talking about. My flesh lusts against my spirit, the spirit against the flesh. So we have the world, and we have the flesh, and we also have the devil, our enemy, telling us to do the wrong thing. The Bible tells us that he is like a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. The Bible says in Ephesians, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this world and against spiritual wickedness in high places. So we have this battle that's going on all the time. We live in a wicked world. And it's so important that we understand that. So with that going on and with the struggles we have with our flesh, there's going to be times that we offend somebody else. And there's going to be times that we're offended by others. There's going to be times that we see good people going through trials. And you know what the devil's going to tell you? They must be doing something wrong. Why is God doing that to them? Oh, if they were walking with God, that wouldn't be happening. Oh, they wouldn't be having the struggles in their family if they were walking with God. Or they wouldn't be having that financial problem if they were walking with God. Or they wouldn't be having those emotional struggles if they were walking with God. And we can be condemning of people who are doing their best to be obedient to God. And we can get upset with them because they're not right. They're not right with God, when they may be walking in absolute obedience. I want you to also understand this, that we can get angry at others when we're going through times of difficulties, because they don't understand what we're going through. We can look back and say, well, you're just so pious, and we can get angry at other people because we're going through circumstances. That's what happened with this lady. This lady, this good lady, is now mad at this good man. Because things aren't going right. The circumstances are crazy. And so that what happens is she begins to blame him and she attacks him. We need to be careful about that. Don't look on others when they are going through tough times, and don't get angry at others when you're going through tough times. Some important things to remember. So number one, remember this. Remember, obedience does not mean bad things won't happen. Number two, remember this. Remember this, that Satan uses bad circumstances to divide believers. Remember, Satan uses bad circumstances to divide believers. You're at work and you've got a friend that you're working with all the time, and he accidentally slices his hand and says something that's totally inappropriate. Now, he's got the cut hand, and he's going, and it's coming bad. And so, in compassion, you say, hey, I thought you were a Christian. You shouldn't be talking that way. Well, what? You're right, I shouldn't have said that, but yeah, well, you need to... What about helping him with his finger that's laying on the floor? Maybe picking it up and taping it on or something? Remember, Satan uses bad circumstances to divide believers. We need to understand, this woman, she was not a bad woman. But Satan had convinced her that Elijah was her problem. Isn't that amazing? It's absolutely amazing. Oftentimes, when people encounter problems, they will run from God when they should be running to Him. Or they'll get upset with the people of God when they should be seeking the love of the people of God. We need to remember that Satan can... Now listen to this. Satan can use good people to hinder good people. Satan can use good people to criticize other good people. And we've got to remember that it's Satan that's doing it. We've got to remember that my Christian brother is not my enemy. In fact, no human being is my enemy. I wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this world. I want to keep my mouth shut about criticizing. It is a horribly depressing thing to get on Facebook and listen to one person rip another person and another person, and Twitter ripping. And the news is rip. And we hear that in the political arena. We hear it now with all of the movie stars ripping each other. It's a sad thing. But that's the way of the world. But that's not your way, and that's not my way. We need to remember that Satan uses circumstances to divide believers, and that happens within the local church, and we need to be careful. And that happens between churches and churches. We've for years just said, we're not going to criticize other churches. We're just going to promote the truth and rejoice. Do you realize that any victory that any Christian ever has is your victory? Say amen to that. Any win that any Christian has is your win. So keep your mouth shut about other Christians. She was not a bad woman. But Satan convinced her that Elijah was the problem. This parallels a story in the New Testament. Jesus comes to Peter, with all of his disciples, and he sits them down and he says, hey, boys, who do men say that I am? And they start saying, oh, some say you're Elijah, some say you're one of the prophets. Others say you're John the Baptist reincarnated. He said, yeah, but who do you say that I am? And Peter jumps up and Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Wow. When Peter says that, Jesus commends him in Matthew chapter 16. Peter commends him and he says this, or Jesus commends him. The Bible says, Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. My Father, God the Father, actually talked to Peter and told Peter, he's the Christ, he's the Son of the living God. He was a man that walked that heard from God the Father. This is an amazing truth. Now, after he says this, Jesus says, don't tell anybody that. Because what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to Jerusalem. When I go to Jerusalem, the leaders, spiritual leaders in Jerusalem are going to turn against me, and they're going to hate me. They're going to persecute me. They're going to beat me. They're going to abuse me. And then they're going to take me to a cross, and I'm going to die. When he says that, this is just 8 verses later. When he says that, Peter says to him, oh, far be this from you. This isn't going to happen to you. Oh, no. That's exactly what the Father wanted to happen to Jesus. And Jesus was willing to do the will of the Father. And Peter said, no, no, no. But it wasn't Peter. It was Satan using Peter.
And so the Bible tells us this in verse 16. It says, but he turned. Jesus then turns and he says to Peter, get thee behind me, Peter. I never want to see you again. What kind of wicked man are you? You are a vile man. Stay away from me. It's not what he did. He turned around and he looked at Peter and he said, get thee behind me, Satan. Because he knew it wasn't Peter. Peter, Trev, was a good man. Christian, Peter was a good man. He was the best friend of the Lord Jesus Christ, or at least one of his best friends. So he didn't say, Peter, get out of here, you wicked, vile man. He said, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense to me. Not Peter, you're not an offense. You're an offense to me, Satan. Thou savorest not the things. Satan, you don't savor the things that be of God, but those things that be of man. We have got to remember that Satan uses bad circumstances to divide believers, and we can't let that happen to us. So, number one, obedience does not mean bad things won't happen. Number two, we need to remember Satan uses bad circumstances to divide believers. Number three, remember, when you are attacked by other believers, forgive immediately. Now, let me say this about forgiveness. Forgiveness is not a feeling. It's not something, well, I was so bitter and so upset with you, and my heart is melted, and now I just have a warm, lovey, fuzzy feeling towards you. That's not forgiveness. Forgiveness is something you determine to do when somebody has hurt you. It's a determination. You say, give me an example. I'll give you an example. Jesus was taken to a cross. He was spit upon. He was beaten. All of it was unjust. He was treated terribly. A crown of thorns was placed upon his head. It was beaten into his head. He was abused. All of his friends had forsaken him. They were all gone. They took him then and hung him on a cross. His back was ripped to shreds. They hung him on an old rugged cross. He's there hanging on the cross. I'm going to tell you, he did not feel good. I'm going to tell you, he did not have emotional, oh, I just feel so warm and fuzzy towards you today. There was no, oh, just my heart melted. No. Here we have the Savior in absolute physical, emotional agony, so that he cries out to God later, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But the first words that came out of his mouth was this, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Words of forgiveness. I want you to understand, forgiveness is not something you feel, it's something that you do. Years ago, I was struggling with this. A man had just ripped me apart and said some pretty nasty things to me, and I didn't know how to respond to that. And I was laying in bed one night, and I said, Father, I don't know how to respond to this. And the thought came to my mind, forgive him. And I thought, well, okay, I forgive him. And this thought came to my mind, say it. So I sat up in my bed and I named the person and I said, I want you to know, Father, I have chosen to forgive this person. I'm going to love this person. I'm going to treat this person right. I'm going to do right by this person. No matter how they treat me, I forgive them. And man, a peace flooded my soul. Forgiveness, I realized at that point, and I'm constantly learning this, and I think there's some things we learn over and over and over again, that forgiveness is something we choose, not something we feel. And so this woman came to him immediately. Did he attack her? Did he respond in a negative way? No. Truth is, he responded in love. He looked at her and thought, wow, this woman's hurting. This woman is going through some struggles. And of course he's hurting. And of course she's blaming me. And of course, he understood. The Bible tells us this in John chapter 13. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, because you have love one for another. When your brother hurts you, when your friend hurts you, when your family, when your mom, your dad, your son, your daughter, your next door neighbor hurts you, you need to respond in love. Immediately, I'm going to forgive them. Have compassion on their circumstances. Even if you don't know the circumstances, just assume there's some negative circumstance that is here. Lady got on a bus and a subway in New York City. She got on the subway train. She had three children with her. And as she sat down on the subway, her children were just acting up and just running around and just misbehaving in all sorts of terrible ways. Everybody in the and she just kept her head down the whole time. And everybody in the subway was just really in the car was really getting upset with her. And finally, an older man said, lady, can you do something about your children? And she was like in a daze and she said, Oh, I'm so sorry. She gathered her kids, said, come over here and sit down. She said, I'm so sorry. We just came from the hospital and my husband just passed away. And I wasn't thinking. You know, it changes our whole way of thinking, doesn't it? When we understand the circumstances. And this man, Elijah, saw the circumstances and understood that the Satan would use the circumstances to divide. Don't let that happen. People are hurting. People say unkind things. People are mean because of the circumstances they're in life. Just determine that when you're attacked by another believer or by anyone that you're going to immediately forgive. Look, there's a man named David Wilkerson who made an impact on my life by writing a book called The Cross and the Switchblade. Made an impact on many teenagers back in the 1960s and 70s. In the late 1960s, he went to New York City because he heard of the trial of some teenagers. These teenagers had murdered another teenager, and they were being tried as adults and being sentenced to death. And he heard about that, and he went there in compassion to try and reach them. When he got there, he found out about the most vicious. A gang in New York City of teenagers. It was called the Mau Mau tribe. The leader of that tribe was a man named Nicky Cruz. Nicky Cruz had done many vile things in his life, but he was the leader of this gang. When he went to New York City, he started meeting some of these kids from the Mau Mau, and he started leading them to Christ, which irritated Nicky. And Nicky said, I'm going to get this preacher. One day when David was ministering to one of his gang members. I mean, he's pulling them out of drugs. He's pulling them out of sexual perversion. He's doing all that. Nicky came to him and found him, grabbed him by the shirt, took a switchblade knife, put it up to his neck and said, I'm going to kill you. And David Wilkerson looked at him. In fact, later he said he was trembling in his shoes with this. But David Wilkerson looked at him and said, Nicky, you can cut me to pieces and throw me on the ground. And every one of those pieces will cry out to you, Nicky, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Today, Nicky Cruz is 84 years old. For the last 60 years, he's been a preacher of the gospel. He's been used to preach thousands of people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because somebody determined when he was attacked, he was going to forgive. It's easy to get bitter when someone treats you wrong. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 15 says this. It says, see that none render evil for evil unto you, unto any man. But ever follow that which is good, both amongst yourself and all men. Isn't it interesting? Paul says, look, amongst yourselves, because Christians have a hard time getting along with other Christians. Can you say amen to that? Let's get a better amen on that. Christians have a hard time getting along with other Christians. Can you say amen to that? Let's confess our sin here, all right? So amongst yourselves and to all men. He says, look, you need to be willing to forgive and you need not render evil for evil. So remember, when you're attacked by other believers, forgive them immediately. Number four, remember to pray for your critics. Don't become critical of them. Look what he does in verse 20 and 21. It says, and he cried unto the Lord. I mean, he didn't understand any more of what was going on than the woman understood. He cried unto the Lord, hast thou brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? And then he prays. He prays three times. First time it didn't work. Second time it didn't work. So he prayed again. He just kept on praying that God would answer
his prayer, and God heard and answered his prayer. Don't criticize your critics. Pray for them. Pray for your critics. Pray for them. Don't, if somebody gets angry at you, don't respond in anger. This is an amazing thing. He prayed, and after 3,100 years of human history, because of his prayer, somebody rises from the dead. God answers a prayer and shows us what's going to happen with us. It's an amazing thing. In Luke chapter 11, Jesus said, tells the story of a man who has a friend that comes to him at midnight. And the man comes at midnight and he says, I'm hungry, but he doesn't have anything to feed him. And so he goes next door to his other friend who's, it's at midnight. The guy said, I'm asleep. Don't bother me now. Come back later on. He said, no, I need this. And the Bible says, Jesus said, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, that is his continual nagging. If you have children, say amen. So you understand this. Okay. Yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. Jesus tells another story about a widow in Luke chapter 18, and she is being persecuted by somebody and she's being afflicted, and she goes to an unjust judge and she says to the unjust judge, avenge me of my adversary, and he won't pay any attention to her until she keeps bugging him over and over again. And then the judge says, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming, she kept coming and coming and coming, she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not the God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? You just keep asking God, because God hears and answers prayers. Don't get critical of your critics. Elijah didn't do that. He said, I understand. I don't understand what's going on either. And he went and he prayed. He said, God, please do something about this. God, I can't do anything about it. Please, would you do something about it? And he begged God to do something. And God heard and answered his prayer. Listen, remember these things. Remember, obedience does not mean bad things won't happen. Remember, Satan uses bad circumstances to divide people. Don't let Satan divide you from other Christians. Remember, when you're attacked, immediately forgive. And remember to pray for your critics. Don't be critical of them. And then lastly, remember, always work towards reconciliation. When he brought the child down, the Bible says in verse 23, and Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. He was so happy to bring good news and say, here is your son. And the woman said to Elijah, because of his act of reconciliation, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. Because he responded the way God wanted him to respond. He didn't respond in anger. He didn't criticize her back. He didn't get angry. He didn't demean her. Because he loved her and responded right and prayed, God heard and answered her prayer, and she saw that the truth of God was in him. Wow. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, that you have love one for another. She knew he was a man of God. He brings the child to his mother. He declares her alive, and the woman is humbled and declares, by this I know that thou art a man of God. Wow. You know, the Bible says that God's given us the ministry of reconciliation. The Bible says when we get saved, we become new creatures in Christ. And as new creatures in Christ, he's given us, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 19, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Now listen, and he's given us that same ministry. He hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. God wanted to reconcile with fallen sinners so much that he sent his son, Jesus, to die for us, to pay for our sins so we could be reconciled to him. And he wants us to do the same. Reconcilers. We should be reconcilers. Satan will come to you and say, you can't talk to that. You can't be with that person. You can't do. Listen, don't allow that to happen. There are dads that have not talked to their children for years. There are children that have not talked to their parents. There's husbands and wives. There's exes in our lives. And we're there. Oh, we have all sorts of wrong feelings. We have wrong actions. Because you don't know how bad we've been hurt. Let me tell you this. If you want to have a wonderful tomorrow, you need to learn to live the forgiving lifestyle. You need to learn to live the forgiving life. Because when you do, then what you do is you put yourself in a place of God's blessing. In Matthew chapter 18, we know this, that if you don't, you're turned over to a place of torment. And people who have unforgiveness in their heart, because they've been attacked unjustly. Elijah was attacked unjustly. Satan used that circumstance. He wanted to divide them. But because Elijah responded properly and he prayed for his critics instead of criticizing back and he worked at reconciliation, this whole story now brings glory and honor to God as he wants your life to when you live the life of forgiving. So let's live the forgiving lifestyle. Let's pray. Father, help us to take the truth that's here. Help us to apply it to our lives, that you might get glory through our lives. I pray if there's somebody here that's not saved, that you'll save them right now. And I ask this in Jesus' name.
We hope that message was an encouragement to your heart. Now, for weekly updates and for information about Liberty Baptist Church, be sure to follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook at LBC of Las Vegas. Well, that's it for today. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, God bless.